We'll start in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Okay, just kind of summarize what we talked about last night and where we are this morning. We agreed last night that every one of us has lions in life. And hopefully in your time of discussion group, as in my time of discussion group, we were able to really get to the bottom of what our lions are in life and what the things that are killing us are. And in case you're still confused about your lion, let me throw out some things to you that may help you. Your lion is the thing that, like, consumes you lots of times. Like Abunab Shoy was saying, maybe it's like a fear of being lonely for the rest of your life. Your lion is the thing that you wish, like if you could wish for one thing to just go away from your life and never, ever, ever come back again, a lot of times that's what your lion is. Fear, failure, self-esteem, whatever it may be. And like Abuna was saying last night, most of us try to deal with it in an incorrect way. What we try to do with the lion is just like befriend the lion, pretend the lion isn't there, just kind of hope that it doesn't go away. But as Abuna was telling us last night, that is impossible. Okay? And it's just logic. It's just common sense. If you live in a house and a lion lives in that same house, then one of you two is eventually going to die. And you may say, well, nothing's happened so far. The lion maybe didn't eat you today, and maybe didn't eat you the next day. There's going to come a point in time when the lion's hungry, and it doesn't have any food around, that you're going to die. So it's the same thing with our lions. Is that a lot of times what I notice is the lions don't kill us quickly, but the lions kill us slowly. And the lions enjoy to just kind of gnaw away at us a little bit every single day. And the goal of this retreat is to figure out the answer to that, okay? Is to, instead of being killed by the lion, is to kill the lion. Because like Abunab Shoy said, there's only two options in life, is kill or be killed. So our goal is going to be to kill the lion. What we're going to talk about this morning is the first step in that process is locking eyes with your lion. Yesterday we saw the story of Benaiah. And Benaiah, we saw how he killed a lion. And Abunab Shoy gave us some nice lion facts last night. But again, just in case it didn't sink in your head here, the story that we're talking about. This is quite possibly the craziest story in the history of the Bible. And the Bible has some crazy stories. But very few are crazier than a man chasing a lion. Think about it. If Benaiah comes to you and says, I got a great idea for New Year's Eve. What's your idea? Let's go chase and kill lions. Imagine if you step outside your window one day and you see a lion and then a man behind it running after it like crazy person. Okay, that's what Benaiah did. A lion came to him, and most of us, lion comes, heart attack happens, and then we run away as fast as we can. We hide under the bed. Benaiah saw a lion, and he like threw off his whatever he chased after it as fast as he could out the door. This is a crazy, crazy, crazy story. I found some cool pictures. Oh, the question I want to ask you is, who in the right mind would chase a lion? Okay? And I found some cool pictures to show you what lions do to some of the people that they fight with. So for example, this is a, I have a tough time saying this, rhinoceroses, okay? Rhinoceros, okay? Did you know lions not only eat people, but they also eat rhinoceroses, they eat antelope, they eat warthog, they eat wildebeest, they eat buffalo, they eat zebra, they have also been known to eat giraffes, okay? If a giraffe messes with it, a lion will take it down and put a hole in a not nice place there, okay? Lions also, if an elephant, they don't like to eat elephants, but if an elephant messes with a lion, lions take down elephants. There's nothing that a lion won't attack. A lion, one bite from a lion's mouth can crush a human skull like instantly, like straight through it. Lions run at ever fast, as Abunab Shoy was saying, and however much that he was saying right there. And you want to know how lions attack people? This is how lions attack. Okay? So they run after their prey, and then they, my goodness, man, they jump on it like this, and the thought of this being a human being, this picture just drives me crazy. I can't imagine a lion behind me like this and then throwing him down and starting to beat him to death. But that's kind of what Benaiah did. The point is that lions usually win. So the question that I want to ask you, as it says right there, why would anyone in the right mind chase a lion? Maybe, you know what? Maybe Benaiah was a fool. That's what it must be. Benaiah was a fool. Benaiah was someone who had... Benaiah wasn't all there. Must have been. Anyone who chases a lion got to be not that bright of a guy. There's a story of... I know a story of a man who one time saw a real lion. Okay? And I wanted to get like his kind of like account of what happened when he saw that real lion. This is a real person that I know. And a lot of you guys know him as well. I couldn't get him to be here with us today, but he recorded something for me. But here's the thing. The sound quality is kind of poor. Okay? So what I'm going to ask is Danny and Sandra, okay, like pick up these speakers and like hold them. The sound quality is really poor, so we all need to kind of be quiet and listen. This is a real person who a lot of you really know, okay? Like hold it up to them so they can, yeah, something like that. Careful. Who really faced a lion one day. He saw a real lion. And you probably recognize the voice here. Yeah, ready? You guys gotta be quiet. Can you hear? He's saying the lion opened his mouth and jumped. Okay, we'll stop there for right now. I know that audio quality is really poor, but he was telling the story. Could you guys hear it? Okay. He was telling the story. This is Embabulus, okay, who was one of the bravest people that I know. One time he was in a place, like in a zoo or whatever, and they had animals and stuff like that, but then he paid the guy $5 to take him downstairs where they had like the biggest lion of them all. So he wanted to see like this biggest lion. And Embabulus is very like... what's the right word? Adventurous, shall we say, okay? That's how we ended up in the elephant mess, but that's another story. So he wanted to see, like, not the little lion, the biggest lion. So he goes down in the cage, and he sees the lion, this and that, and he said, in his exact words, let me be really brave, and let me stick my head inside. He stuck his head inside the cage. He said the lion all of a sudden went, roar! And he said, he's like, I had a heart attack. And he was saying, as he said, I was off the rest of the day. What he's trying to say is, you can't imagine what a lion is. Like, you can't imagine a real lion. Okay? Remember this picture. You can't imagine what this is like to face it. So my question is, back to Benaiah, why would anyone in their right mind chase after a lion? Why? Why would anyone in the right mind chase and fight against a lion? Why? I need an answer to this question. So know they're stronger. I don't really want to know I'm stronger that much. Why would anyone chase a lion? I need an answer. If you chase the lion, no one else will try to mess with you. Okay. No one messes with me as it is. I'm content as is. No, that's not good enough to risk. That's not good enough for this. Okay? That's not good enough for this. Why? You have your life to lose. Very good. Manar got the answer. You really have nothing to lose. You guys know you have to lose your life. No, we already agreed. You're going to lose your life anyway. If there's a lion in this room, you're going to lose your life anyway. So if you do nothing, your life will be lost. And if you don't kill a lion, you will be killed by that lion. Why would anyone chase a lion? Benaiah had a choice, and the same choice that you have. It's either kill or be killed. There's only two options. That's what Rabbi Shai was saying last night. There's only two options. So the reason why he chased it is because he didn't want to die. He didn't want to be killed by it. There's no way around it. Look here. You wish and I wish that we didn't have to face lions. No one wishes it more than me. No one wishes that lions didn't exist. But the bottom line is, they do. I wish there wasn't a lion in my face, but there is. We don't get what we wish for. I wish I was 7 feet tall. I wish the Redskins never lost. I wish for lots of things. It doesn't matter what I wish for. It only matters what's in front of me. And many of us spend our whole life wishing that the lion wasn't there. And crying that the lion is there. And hoping and complaining and bitter and this and that. Look, that's fine. There's a lion in front of you. Imagine Benaiah wakes up. Lion comes in front of him. Why? And how come? And you hate me and I'm miserable. What's going to happen? He'll be killed by the lion while he's complaining. And that's what happens to many of us. So we spend our whole time, why and how come? Look, man, there's a lion in front of you. I didn't put it there. You didn't put it there. I wish it wasn't there and you don't wish it was there, but that's not reality. Reality is it's there and you must kill or be killed. So if I didn't put the lion there and you didn't put the lion there, who put the lion there? God put the lion there. This should bring us to an important question. Why would God put lions in our way? Doesn't seem very like God is love. God is love, therefore lions. Doesn't seem to quite match. The whole merciful, compassionate, this doesn't seem to be on the same page as what we like to think of God as. Well, in understanding why God puts lions, the answer is yes, God does put lions in our life. Why does God put lions in our life? You have to understand that God's goal for your life may not necessarily be the same as your goal for your life. Each one of you has goals. I know that. And each one of you has things, has like an agenda in life, and has like a plan in life. I know that. I get to hear it all. I know all that stuff. And your plans, the majority of it, if you're honest with yourself, entails comfort, entails easiness. Okay, your plans are, let me go to school so I can have a good job, so I can be comfortable. Let me do this, let me meet this nice boy, meet this nice girl, do this and that, so that way I'm not suffering for the rest of my life. Your plans is to minimize problems, minimize pain, and maximize comfort, right? That's our plan. Minimize pain, maximize comfort. You know what? I see this even spiritually. A lot of times we have this goal spiritually. A lot of people, if I ask, what's your spiritual goal in life? Don't go to hell. That's my goal. My goal is that I don't want to go to hell. My goal is I don't want to do this, like, I have 4 years of college. My goal is that I don't fall into this really, really bad thing. Yeah, I may have a little fun, boys will be boys, this and that, but my goal is to avoid, to not do these catastrophic things, to lose my soul and all that kind of stuff. Do you think that's what God's goal is for you? To avoid disasters? Look here and listen to this carefully. God isn't looking for not bad people. God is looking for lion chasers. I think a lot of us spend our life goal spiritually is to be a not bad person. My goal is to not do bad things. Adultery, murder, Hopefully I can avoid those things. My goal is, college is a success if I'm a not bad person. I don't think that's what God's looking for. God is not looking for not bad people. God is looking for lion chasers. You know why? Because, as the quote says, think about this. You can do nothing right and still do nothing wrong. Do you agree? You can do nothing right and still do nothing wrong. Nothing wrong. Sorry. You can do nothing wrong and still do nothing right. Does that make sense? Goodness is not the absence of badness. Goodness is goodness. Okay? If you're not moving backward, doesn't mean that you're necessarily moving forward. I hope to be a good husband to my wife. What makes me a good husband? The fact that I didn't cheat on her, and I didn't beat her, and I didn't yell at her. Does that make me a good husband? If I avoid doing all those bad things? No, I'm only a good husband if I help with the dishes and say nice words and flowers and all that kind of stuff. That's what makes me a good husband. Avoiding bad is not the same as doing good. I think many of us, our spiritual goals is to avoid bad. It's to be not bad people. It's to do nothing wrong. And I think God is telling us that you can do nothing wrong and still do nothing right. What I'm saying is our calling in life is much higher than don't be an adulterer and don't be a murderer. That doesn't make you a successful person. Even if you look at it, I said that a lot of our goals is to avoid hell. Is that God's goal for your life? That you don't go to hell? What's God's goal? That you go to heaven. It's not that you, God didn't say, I want you to do all this stuff so you don't have to go to hell. My goal is that you go to heaven. That's the point of this retreat, is to try to change our perspective on things. To try to change the way we see life and the way we see like our goals and stuff like that. Because so many of us is just trying to avoid this and bad and disaster and discomfort and all that kind of stuff. And if that's your goal, then you're on the different page than God. Lions are not going to be good for you. Because lions are pain and lions are discomfort. But what God is saying is, my goal for you is not to be a not bad person. My goal is for you to be a lion killer. And to be a lion killer, you need lions in your life. So our goal for this retreat, as Abuna was saying last night, is to see lions as opportunities. And Abuna showed us this verse last night, but I want it to sink into to everyone's head right here. Is that Benaiah, one verse, ran into a lion. Good day or bad day? Good day when you run into a lion or bad day when you run into a lion? Bad day. Next verse, he was more honored than the 30, so he received honor, and David appointed him over his guard. His guard was like his personal bodyguard. It's kind of like the Secret Service. Like the president's personal protectors. Benaiah went from like whatever to the captain of the Secret Service like overnight. Like one fell swoop. It's not that he was like, okay, assistant deputy chief one night, and then next year he got a promotion to like, it wasn't that he worked his way up the ranks. It was he was a nobody, and then all of a sudden a lion came, killed the lion, and he was appointed over his guard. What you can see is that we all agree that running into a lion is a bad thing. A very bad thing, and it seems like of all the days to run into a lion, the day that I happened to fall into a pit and he happened to fall into the pit would seem like the worst possible combination of running into a lion days. But few things in life are worse than running into a lion. Would you agree with me? Agree with me on that one. That there's few things, like if you were planning your day, this would be like near the end of the things that you would not want, like this would be at the top of things that you don't want to happen. Few things in life are worse than running into a lion. But few things in life are better than killing a lion. So as bad as it is to face a lion, it's that much good to kill a lion. See what I'm saying? Do you see how God can turn the bad stuff into good stuff? What started off as the worst possible day, lion in my face, okay, turned out to be the best possible day as I killed the lion. That's what God does to us when we can, that's like our goal here, is to change our perspective on things. We usually think lions stink, lions bad, lions kill, I hate lions. What God wants to see is that lions can be the best thing for you. And I believe, especially on this retreat, that running into a lion can be your life-changing moment. It was for Benaiah. Benaiah is who Benaiah is because he ran into a lion. And he wouldn't be who he is unless that lion appeared in his life. And it's the same thing for us as well. Your lion can be your life-changing moment. Can be the thing that, like, your life will never be the same again. But in order for it to make it that way, to be that life-changing moment, we have to have the right perspective. Okay, we have to see that lions can be opportunities. Henry Ford, the guy who invented the car, said, "Obstacles are those frightful things you see when you take your eyes off the goal. Remove obstacles and put lions in there as well. And remove goal and put God in there. Lions are those things, those frightful things that you see when you take your eyes off of God." So my question to you is, what do you see? Okay? Like what's your perspective here? Do you see a problem or an opportunity? Benaiah had a lion come face to face with him. And he was somehow able to see not just a problem, a big problem, a scary problem, but he was able to see an opportunity. And that's why he was able to jump on it. Believe me, I promise you. I promise you, promise you, promise you. Especially in sitting with some of you. I can see very clearly that your lion is the thing that you need. Okay? And your lion could be your thing. Your lion could be like your moment. Everyone gets to a point in their life when something changes. Your lion could be that change. That drastic thing. That Benaiah never forgot the day he ran into a lion. And for the rest of his life, Benaiah sang and told stories to his kids and his grandkids, et cetera, about the day, the worst day when I had the heart attack and I, you know, went to the bathroom on myself, all that kind of stuff, because the lion came in front of me. But then, how I turned on the lion, how I tasted the lion, and how I killed the lion, and I am who I am today because of that lion. And it can be the same thing for each one of you. But in order for you to get there, you have to be able to see it as an opportunity. How to see it as an opportunity, you must remember one very important thing. Write this down, and then I'll explain it. God wants you to get where God wants you to go more than you want to get where God wants you to go. Okay, think about that one for a second there. Write it down, and it'll make sense. God wants you to get where God wants you to go more than you want to get where God wants you to go. Can you understand that? Can you believe that? Can you trust in that? That as much as you... Okay, what this is saying is that we all want to go from here to here. We all want, like, this point in our life. Okay? And we're standing back over here. And I really, really want to get there. But God really, 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 really wants me to get there. And He wants me to get there even more than I want to get there. And He controls the whole universe, and He controls all the lions, and God puts things in my path to get me there, because He wants me to get there more than I want me to get there. Another way of putting this is that God, like His specialty in life, is putting us in the right place at the right time. Can you believe that? Can you really believe that? That God's specialty is putting you, again, God knows that you need to get from here to here. And God's specialty is putting you in positions, the right place, the right time, to get there. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, says that. God says, "I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Being a child of God comes with a great privilege. It means that God is always working behind the scenes to get us a future and a hope and peace and not evil. Is that He's always working behind the scenes to, like, put me on the track to get me where He wants me to go. But there's a catch. there's a catch to that. You know what the catch is? Is that the right place oftentimes seems like the wrong place. And the right time oftentimes definitely seems like the absolute worst time. Wasn't it that way for Benaiah? In general, like I said, a lion doesn't seem like, if I see a lion in front of me, doesn't seem like, hey, this is the right place to be in. And like I said, the best timing of it all didn't seem like the day that I'm in a pit and he happens to be in the exact same pit. Didn't seem like it'd be the best timing of a day to run into a lion. Maybe a day I had a gun with me or a day I had a tank with me would be much better timing of a day to run into a lion. But God chose this day that we're both happen to be in a pit. So the right place often seems like the wrong place. The right time seems like the wrong time. Isaiah 55 verse 8 and 9. You don't understand this verse, you can't understand this thing. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. What God is saying in this verse, and this is like an important verse to like hold on to during those times where the lions is attacking, is that God is working, but not necessarily the way that I think he should be working. And God says to us with all due respect, you're smart, you have your degree, you don't know what's right. You don't know what's best for your life. And I have a way to get you from here to here that may seem like the absolute worst way for you, but trust me, my ways are much higher than your ways and my thoughts are much higher than your thoughts. And sometimes my itinerary for your life includes lions. It includes loneliness. Sometimes it includes bad parents that you hate and that hate you and that make you feel like you're the reject. My plan sometimes includes that. My plan sometimes includes failure. Sometimes my plan includes A minuses, not just A's. A minus? B pluses? Believe it or not, somehow, God can work even through A minuses and B pluses. Somehow. The point is that God knows what he's doing, but can you trust him? Can you trust him when the lion's in front of you and you don't know why he's there and you really wish that he wasn't there and you hate him being there and you hate your life and you hate everyone else's life around you? Can you trust that God knows what he's doing and God has a plan? Anytime God wants to bring an opportunity into your life, the majority of the time the opportunity is disguised as a lion. As a man eating, big teeth, roaring, jumping on top of that animal thing, kind of lion. That's how God dresses the opportunities that he has for us. Can anyone think of any examples, biblical examples, other than Benaiah, about a bad thing, a scary thing, which ended up good stuff coming out of it? Mark. Daniel and three lions. Okay, that's very, very good. Okay, where Daniel was in the pit with the lions. Okay, and they didn't kill him because God saved him. Very good, Mark. Marianne. Story of Samson. Okay, hold on to that one. That's the one I'm going to tell. Very good. So else? Who? Joseph. Okay. And that his brothers threw him down the well and they sold him. How Joseph got sold. Yeah, Joseph actually is a very good story because Joseph was not only like left for dead, but he was sent to where? Egypt. That's scary. He was sent to Egypt of all places, and that turned out to be pretty good for him. So it can't get much worse than Joseph's life. Natalie. David and Goliath. Okay, very, very good. So you can see how God brings good stuff out of bad stuff. But the best example is the one that Marianne said, which is the story of Samson. Which is actually what we're going to read right now, is in Judges 14. Samson is also part of the Lion Killer Club. Samson killed a lion one time in his life. And what the story is that Samson one day was walking down the road, and we'll read the story right here. Pick it up in Judges 14, verse 5 and 6. Now to his surprise, as he's just walking down the road, a young lion came roaring against him. So this is not just a lion, but a roaring lion. Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily. And he tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand. Not only did he kill the lion, but he tore it apart, apparently as one tears apart a goat. I don't know how that works, but apparently he tore it up with just his bare hands. Now, here's the cool thing about the story of Samson. Not only did he kill the lion, but then something else happened. Anyone remember what happened? Well, the next thing that happened is in the next verse, the next day. Or maybe later on that same day. After some time, when he returned to get her, he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, a swarm of bees and honey were in the carcass of the lion. What happened? Samson's walking down the road one day to get to the city. Out jumps the lion. He tears apart that lion as one tears apart a young goat. Standard practice right here, okay? Easy. Lion attacks me, I kill lion. No problem. And he moves on his business. He goes and does his business. He turns back the next day, and he's walking and say, "Hey, Samson, isn't that lion that you took care of?" I said, "Yeah." He looks inside, and what's inside it? A swarm of bees and honey. And he ate from it. And that led him to say our theme verse for this retreat. Judges 14:14, which everyone should memorize by the end of this retreat. Out of the eater came something to eat, and out of the strong came something sweet. It rhymes, so it's nice. Say it with me all together. Out of the eater came something to eat, and out of the strong came something sweet. Do you understand what this verse is saying? He's saying out of the eater, the thing that was going to eat me, not only did I not get eaten, but I ended up eating from her. The thing that was coming to take away my life, not only did it not take away my life, but I took life from it. You know what God wants to do with your fear, with your worry, with your problem, with your anxiety, with your whatever your lion is? God wants you to find two things inside your lion. He wants you to find victory, but he wants you to find more than victory. He wants you to find nourishment or power or life inside your lion as well. What I'm saying is, he not only wants you to be not killed by your lion, he wants you to kill the lion and then eat from the lion. And then be able to say that, you know what, this lion, which was so scary and which was so strong, this and that, it fed me. And it gave me sweetness in life. Could you guys hear that sound clip that I played? Because I have another sound clip too, but if it's not, could you guys hear it or not? Not really? Okay, we'll play it, and those who can't hear it, I can say it afterward. But it's really, really good. And Babulus goes on to talk a little bit more, 735. Yeah, it's on the highest. It's on the highest.
No, sometimes
Yeah, it's on the highest. It's just poor quality. Thanks to Mina Samayan. Mina Samayan's recording. Okay, listen carefully, and I'll tell you afterward. Basically, he's talking about this exact same verse. Somehow, when we were in Africa, and Babulus was giving us a Bible study about this exact same verse. Right. So I don't know exactly where this is, but we'll see. Can you hear? It's a car driving by.
When he came next day, he found sights of same light was coming to tell them honey to accept to eat. That is not only the lion is not killing him, or not only give the lion, no, he could get food from the lion. He could get power. I would never fight, but if I would fight with a cat, I would exhaust my power. But at the end, I can kill it. But I would be tired of myself. So if you fight with a lion, what happened? Not only you will not be killed, but you will exhaust your power, but you get food. Check it out. Cat, do we have this smart mind? Then you are going to fight against a giant.
Okay, now he talks about it. What he said was, for those of you that couldn't hear, what he said was, is he was talking about this story about Samson, and he's basically saying exactly what I was just talking about right there. And he was saying that you imagine that if you're going to fight against a lion, and I'll say in exactly what he said. He said, you know, I could never, like, face a lion. He said, Yanni, maybe I would, Yanni, fight a cat one day. And he's like, if I fought a cat, I would exhaust all my power, okay? And I'll be very tired, and I will be exhausted from fighting against the cat. But he was saying Samson not only beat the lion and was not exhausted, but he was nourished by the lion. He was energized by the lion. Not only did he get victory, but he also found power and nourishment. But the question is do you believe what I am saying or no? Because we believe it about Samson and his lion. But now let's make it personal. Your individual lion, the thing that, like I said, that you hate and it hates you and you wish it would go away and leave you alone and never bother you again and just go away and leave me alone. Do you believe that God has sent that into your life to give you power, to make your life sweet, to give you nourishment? Not just victory, but nourishment and power in life. Do you believe that or not? If so, then we're going to run out of here after this retreat like crazy people going after our lions. Because inside the lion, there's something sweet. Out of the eater came something to eat, and out of the strong came something sweet. Most of us, you know, if the story about Samson was like story of me and you, it would say, Abu Anthony was walking down the road one day, and a lion came out against him, and he jumped under the first rock he could find, and he hid under that rock, and to this day, he's still been now 2,000 years hiding under the rock, and thanking God for the little pieces of grass that's around him that's feeding him, and thinking what a great miracle has happened. Because that's what all of us do when we have our lion. We run from it, we cower from it, and then we praise God that a lion hasn't totally destroyed us yet, and we're living our life under a rock. Is that how God wants us to live? Is that how God wants us to live our life? Is in fear of our lion? Is it avoiding our lion? And if it comes here, I jump away from it this way, and I'm always hiding away from it? Well, we need, God wants us to give us victory and nourishment, but we must face our lion. All right? We must not hide from it, but we got to get to the point where we realize that the lion could be something good for me. Too many of us have the mindset we only see in a very limited perspective. But this lion threatens everything that I want in my life. So we hate the lion. We pray to God to remove the lion. We cry about the lion. And our whole life becomes my lion this and my lion that. Hopefully we can change our perspective and see the lion as an opportunity. Because what I believe, and as I was thinking about this, is the scariest lions provide the greatest opportunities. You guys believe that? The bigger your lion is, the greater the opportunity. The scarier the thing is, or the more difficult the thing is, or the more whatever it may be, the more God wants to do something in your life. I was thinking back like to myself as I was talking last night about some of his lions. And I was thinking to myself about some of my lions. And I was thinking that there are certain lions that like define one's life. And it's very easy for me to say that, you know, some of the scary things and the good stuff that can come from it. I tell you, the scariest thing I ever done in my life was the first time I stood up in front of a congregation and had to give a sermon. That's scary stuff. Okay? That's scary, scary, scary business. And to say that my palms were sweaty, I mean, I could have filled, you know how the pictures fill the jars with oil and stuff like that? I could have filled jars with sweat, okay, from my knees was knocking, all that kind of stuff. But even when I was thinking about it, that's not even the biggest lions that I think, that the greatest opportunities that I see. And I go back to, believe it or not, when I was your age. I go back to it was my junior year of college. And those who know me know that I wasn't always who I am today. I was a little bit different person back then. And there came a point in time in my life, for a variety of reasons, that I felt like it was time to get serious with my relationship with God. Okay? No dramatic story, no nothing. But I felt like it was time to get serious, my relationship with God. I'd always done like the bare minimum with God. Stand in the back of the church, check my clock, as soon as it finishes, head on out. Do the quick Our Father prayer every night. Just do bare minimum and try to be a not bad person. Avoid like the major sins. Try to avoid the top 10 as much as you can and just try to make sure everything is okay. Came point in life where I decided I want to get serious with God. As soon as I said that, there's a lion that faced me. And that lion was the same lion a lot of you guys have, which is loneliness. And I remember very specifically, and I was just talking with someone last night about this. Boone Anthony's not an emotional guy, by any means. Okay, I don't cry, I don't do none of that kinds of nonsense. Well, I remember there were certain nights when I was in college that I would cry in my room by myself. Because I remember, yeah, you're laughing at me too, very good, thank you. Makes me feel very good. There was nights, I remember, because I remember when I made this decision to get close to God, it meant I had to go away from a group of friends. They weren't bad, they were good guys, they loved me, I loved them, but they were not headed in the right direction for me. And I remember I had to make that decision of either the friends or God. And I wanted to choose God, but there was a big obstacle standing in the way, which was my loneliness. And I remember those nights when I felt like, you know what, like too hard and this and all that kind of stuff. But it was that lion, that loneliness lion, the thanks be to God I was able to face and overcome, that really made me who I am today. And I wouldn't be the same person if it wasn't for that lion. I know I wouldn't. I wouldn't know who God is if I didn't face that. I wouldn't know how to pray unless I had faced that lion. Because believe me, that's when I learned how to pray. It was those nights that taught me how to pray. As I look back on my life right now, I understand Judges 14:14. I see it very clearly. That out of the eater came something to eat, and out of the strong came something sweet. I see that out of that worst time, what I thought was at the time the worst thing that could have possibly happened, the best thing in life happened to me, and I became who I am, and I wouldn't be who I am. That was my life-changing moment, is what I'm trying to say. And your line could be the same thing. Believe me, your calling in life is much higher than to be a not bad person. If God were to look down on this room right now and like share with us what his dreams are for this collective group right here, I'm telling you, it'd knock your socks off. You couldn't imagine the stuff that God wants to do with this conglomeration of people that's here today and with this group right here. But spiritual maturity is seeing those lions as God-ordained opportunities and not seeing them necessarily as bad things. Think of every opportunity as a gift from God. Think of every lion as a gift that God is sending to you. And think now of the gift that you give back to him as what you decide to do with that lion. Benaiah had a choice. Chase or be chased. Kill or be killed. And the same decision that each one of you has. Last thing that I'll say right here. This is Winston Churchill said this. A pessimist sees the difficulty in every opportunity. An optimist sees the opportunity in every difficulty. Forget about pessimists and optimists. Don't care about that. But to me, this is the difference between a lion chaser and a scaredy cat. Okay? A lion chaser, a scaredy cat sees the difficulty in every opportunity. But a lion chaser sees the opportunity in every difficulty. Which one are you? One last motivation. As you're ready to kill, that you're ready to see this lion as an opportunity. I want you to see an example of someone who has killed a lion in the past. Okay? And this is what each one of you can do if you face your lion. See, even little kids, look at the way he's eating up that lion right there. Okay? That can be you as well. Are you ready to kill your lion? I have to give credit here to Mark Saman for the Photoshop expert right here. Okay? I just thought it was too good a picture to let go. Had to use it somehow in the retreat. This is my son, Michael, in case you don't know. This is a lion which has been photoshopped instead of a plate of spaghetti, okay? But it looks like he's eating his intestines, so I really like the picture. This is what you guys need to leave here as. Ready to kill your lion, okay?
I thought it was
Jane or Rachel. No. It's a lion. Anyone got any questions? Yes, Megan. Question was, okay, I said about my lion, the question was how I killed it. First thing I'll say is that The first and most important step, which I believe is 99% of the work, is recognizing it as an opportunity and facing it. And once you have decided to face it, God will help you out in ways that you can't imagine. So that's the first thing. Now, as far as there's practical ways, and actually we're going to talk about that tonight, and how we're going to do battle with our lion. We're going to talk about some very practical ways. But the important thing for right now is just recognizing it. And like Benaiah was pretty much going to win once he decided that first step. That first step is the hardest step. When he decided, I'm going to go this way instead of this way. 99% of it. Okay, and then the hand-to-hand combat was essential, and we're going to talk about that. That's going to be tonight's topic. Okay? Yes, Mark. Good question. Where does grace come into this whole thing and like letting God do all these things? Let me ask you a question. Could Benaiah, on his best day, ever come close to defeating a lion? A baby lion, maybe? I don't think so. Could David, on his best day, ever defeat Goliath? Could Samson, though Samson was a little bit of but Samson, without God's power, and when he lost his hair, come close to a lion? So, the power to defeat the lion is God's responsibility. But the decision to chase the lion is mine. Okay? And that's all I'm talking about in this session right now. God is the one who gives the power to defeat the lion. Because you're right, it's still a lion. Okay? It's a lion that, like, do you want me to go back and show you the picture of the lion on top of the thing? You remember that picture? Okay? It's a lion, and yeah, we can't defeat it, but all I'm talking about right now is seeing the opportunity and taking that first step. And believe me, the first step is 99% of the way. And God will give the power, but God doesn't give the power to people lying in their bed. God doesn't give the power to people sitting in their home, cowering from the lion, and saying, please God, save me from the lion. God doesn't give power to those people. God gives power to lion chasers. Yes, Christine. What do you mean?
Like, that was what I focused on today, is quiet, because they kind of threw the cross on.
I mean, there's definite, you can make some similarities and parallels between the lion and the cross. The only thing that I would view a little bit different is that I see the cross as like a daily thing, and I see the lion as big opportunities. So, the two can kind of be like overlapping and stuff, but I see the cross as every day I must be carrying my cross. Every day I must be denying myself and crucifying my flesh, etc., 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 etc. But the lion is those like opportunities that are like once in a lifetime opportunities that God sends. You know what I'm saying? To like take leaps and bounds spiritually. Like Benaiah went from here to like, he didn't take one step, he took like 15 steps at the same time. That's what the lion is to me, those opportunities. Yes, Sherry.
What if you make the decision to chase your lion and then don't feel that God is giving you the strength to continue?
What if you make the decision to chase your lion and don't feel that God is giving you the strength to do it? Two things I'll say. Number one, don't trust your feelings. Okay? Because your feelings can be inaccurate and your feelings can be wrong. Your feelings can lie to you. So you may not feel it. That doesn't matter. Benaiah may not have felt that God was going to give him the power to kill the lion, but then all of a sudden after wrestling with it, he looked up and said, boop, lion's dead. So don't worry about your feelings. Second thing I will say, as like I'll add to your question and say, what if God isn't giving you the power to overcome your lion? Like what if God hasn't given you that power yet? Well, that's one where I'll say is, you need to trust that God will. Okay? And maybe, sometimes what we do is like, okay, I'm going to trust in God and I'm going to chase the lion. Okay, God? So I'm going to run and then you're going to give me the power. See what I'm saying? Like we didn't really run. We did just kind of be like, okay, look, I'm running. Okay, now solve everything. That's not really running. Okay? God wants us to, like, jump. Like that's where I imagine Benaiah. I don't imagine Benaiah like crawling slowly into the pit with the lion, okay? I imagine that lion went in there and that guy, jumped in and, you know what I mean? Like, went full force. And that's what God is waiting for. And that's when God gives the strength. But God doesn't give the strength when I say, okay, God, I'm going to the lion. God doesn't do it that way. Yes, Mina.
When Benaiah, who was taken by David as the, like his right hand man, but I think also David saw, was able to relate to him because David himself killed lions.
Yeah.
So I think it was kind of like David saw himself in Benaiah, and that's why he was investing so much and trusting him so much. It's kind of like with us, we, like in the same lines that we face, you know, talk about how God wants to give us grace.
Very nice. Very nice. Very nice. You guys get that one? That he's saying that David extended such like honor and grace to Benaiah because David himself was another lion chaser and lion killer. So he knew what it took to kill that lion, so he was so appreciative of Benaiah. Well, how much more so between us and God? You know, because Jesus was down here on earth and he faced all these lions and he knew what it took and he overcame them. So when he sees us overcoming them, then he's going to make us like Benaiah. He's going to say, you come here. You, you're faithful over little and you come and enter in the joy of your Lord. He's going to honor us in that same way. Anyone else? Yes, Marianne. Absolutely. 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 Very good. Okay?